7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with you with another amazing Croc podcast for perhaps the most amazing people on earth, our cancer survivor thrivers. On the other side of the computer, Mr. Professor Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, what the heck? How are you, brother?
I'm good. I'm over here. You guys can't see me, but you will eventually when it's on YouTube. I am dancing as Ian Ellie was doing his thing because I get excited. I feel like that song, Jump Around. I want to jump around when we start recording. Let's go.
I got news for you, Angel. You are a dancer. You have rhythm. I feel the rhythm through the computer.
Let's go.
Angel, you know, I love these quick episodes that are really neat, quick, and tidy, and especially the ones that peel back the curtain, kind of give everybody a glimpse behind what's happening in the Wizard of Oz, you know, where the wizard was behind that curtain, and to kind of get a little bit of a peek to demystify what we're doing for you, what's going on the other side of the glass there, as they say. And in your cancer journey, in your survivor journey, in your treatment journey. And a lot of times we point out some of the shortcomings of our field. Sometimes we point out some of the shortcomings in ourselves as your practitioners, as your caregivers. And sometimes we look at ourselves as your medical team and give you sort of our frailties and some of the things that are happening. And today we're going to address just that issue. Specifically today, what we're going to talk about is what I'm going to call gallows humor. Angel, do you know what gallows humor is?
I do not. I'm not going to make an attempt because you will butcher me for that.
Yes, I would. So gallows humor is like a dark, dark humor, like a dark comedy. So basically the famous metaphor is, is the following. Comedy is when you fall through, is when you fall through an open manhole. Tragedy is when I fall through an open manhole. So when you fall through the manhole, I laugh. When I fall through the manhole, I don't laugh so much. So what happens is, you know, it's the dark humor. It's some of that death humor. Gallows is basically the hanging, the place where they would take the criminals and they would hang them. And I guess there would be jokes as the, you know, perpetrator would be led up to the gallows to get hung. The people in the crowd were so uncomfortable, I guess, and so, you know, I guess devastated by having to watch this, that it became a comedy and became funny because it wasn't happening to them. So what I was going to name today's episode was Gallows Humor in Oncology and what your medical team is saying about you behind your back. And again, peeling back that curtain so our patients kind of know that we're human too. And sometimes things aren't that pretty, behind the closed doors. So I want to just first talk about the difference between humor between your doctor, your nurse, and the patient and the survivor, thriver, and humor that happens behind a patient's back. So there's a difference between where the patient's involved and the patient's not involved. We have done at least one, if not several podcasts on trying to integrate humor with the patient participating. And I've read several articles about practitioners who sort of might have sort of my type of personality, more open and airy and kind of light and airy, and trying to maybe say something to lighten the mood, and you feel the patient. Now, there are patients who don't take, they don't bite, they're not like, they're overwhelmed, and probably not a good idea to go down that road of humor. But there's others that are just really so appreciative of you involving them and, you know, getting humor and making a very difficult and stressful situation less stressful. So we've already spoken about that. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about what happens behind the scenes when a patient does something and when the medical team has been through the ringer. And, you know, what do we say? What are the things that are said? And is it right? Is it proper? Is it forgivable? Is it necessary? And these are the things we're going to be talking about today. Angel, just give me your knee jerk on the subject.
I think it's interesting, actually. I think this is something that we can, again, relate to. It puts us in a better perspective because we're living in a day and age right now where everybody is just, I like to use the term short fuse. I think patience is important. I think this is only going to make us better listeners and better people for it.
Yeah. And again, I think it's important for the patients to know that we're human, to know that sometimes, you know, we may say some things that might not be appropriate. But on the other hand, I also always try to include our caregivers, the doctors and nurses who listen to this podcast, to let them know that this is a safe place for them, that maybe they feel guilty when they have these feelings or they say something or they want to say something, but they don't say something because they're just, you know, just can't do it. But really, the reason why this happens, this gallows humor, is the key to the metaphor. Again, that metaphor about comedy is when you fall through an open manhole and tragedy is when I fall through the open manhole, is that really we are living out a real, I would say our life is a comedy, really. And it's a human folly. I'll even call it a folly. But we're judged on a spiritual yardstick. So here we are, trudging our way through life, doing stupid things, saying stupid things, you know, maybe not being the best version of ourselves because we're tired or we're overwhelmed. Or in this episode, we talk about what's called compassion fatigue, which might cause us to say things we regret or say things that may not be appropriate. And we're judged on this yardstick that is more spiritual. But believe me, it is a human journey, and we are all stained by that same similar human stain. And I think one of the things, and I don't know if anybody has gotten this yet, if you're a regular listener to our podcast, you might say, hey, Dr. E and Angel, how do you come up with these things? How do you come up with, you know, an episode every week? Where does it come from? And you would be shocked. You know, it might be a patient, you know, might say something to me that really moves me. The last podcast we had in real time, we talked about that billboard that inspired me. And, you know, and tonight we're further inspired by last week's podcast when we did the Ride to Survive talk that I gave. And, you know, and I was talking and thinking about the special one. So I'm going to paraphrase just a quick part of that talk when I was challenging everyone how to be better to our survivor thrivers. And I say, to be better and to make a difference, never pity or judge a patient. For whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. One day it will be us sitting in that chair. How do we want to be treated? Every Thursday at lunch, we review each case. Mrs. Jones is so sweet. Mr. Smith is so funny. Miss Williams is, well, she's being Miss Williams. What is she thinking? Does she know what's going on? And it's exactly for the Miss Williamses, the special ones, the ones that need us most, that we need to embrace the closest. It is for the ones that don't show up for their appointments, the ones that don't take their medications, the ones that continue the bad habits, the ones that don't have the money or resources or the baseline capacities, that we need to muster the most understanding and empathy and compassion, even when they are doing everything in their power to test us. And this is a podcast about how when they do test us and test us and test us and push us to the limits of our capacities, when we reach compassion fatigue. So that's what this episode is all about. And my experiences, you know, with this compassion fatigue and this gallows humor, Angel, would you think I'm lying if I told you it almost goes back to my first day of medical school?
Not at all.
It is ingrained in the culture when you're dealing with these life and death circumstances. I remember expressions from when we were students, when we were first year students, second year students. Patients didn't die. They, quote unquote, they boxed. And if we knew somebody was about to die, we would say AMF yo-yo. And that meant adios, mother, you know what, you're on your own. And we would call the internist the fleas, because the flea is the last thing off of a dead body. We would say terrible things and nasty jokes and make fun of the medical students, and we would be rounding with the surgeons, and there would be 20 of us in this entourage, and we would walk into a patient's room and kick open the bathroom door, and there would be a little old man sitting on the toilet after having colon surgery, and he'd be looking up and seeing 20, you know, residents and attendings and students, and we'd say, "Hey, Mr. Santana, you're moving your bowels. That's good. Good. We'll see you tomorrow," and then walk away. It from the beginning, this gallows humor is constantly in play, constantly happening. And it is a paradox, because many of the people in my, you know, as I said, I'm rounding on 40 years now, right? From every single person I met when I was a student, my classmates, the class above me, the classes above me, the interns that are now probably all retired now, I remember them all, the residents, the chief residents, the junior attendings, the attendings, everybody, the chief of the hospital, every single person, you know, and I saw that there were sides to them where I would be one-on-one with them with a patient, and we would spend an hour, and I would see such a soft side. I would see such a caring side. I would see the side of them as a healer. And then 3 minutes later, I would see that gallows humor come out. And it was this paradox that has always fascinated me. And you look at this paradox in the context of the Hippocratic Oath versus the context of the gallows humor, or what I call blowing off steam, right? So on the one hand, as healers, our oath that we have to take, Angel, when we go graduate, we have to stand up and we have to take this oath. And this oath in part states, we will do no harm or injustice. I will keep pure and holy both my life and my art. I will help the sick. I will abstain from all intentional wrongdoing and harm, and I will never divulge these holy secrets. And then on the other side, you know, you have the human side of us, that we've worked 24 hours, 36 hours. We've been with someone. We're seeing terrible, terrible things. We're living desperate and hopeless, you know, being sort of observers of this really terrible, tragic play that's unfolding in front of us. And we have to endure watching this unspeakable pain and endure unimaginable tragedies. And we're asked not to be affected by this. And we're asked not to be bothered by this. And we're asked not to be changed by this. And we're asked not to be influenced by this. And I put forth that I think that that's absolutely impossible. Right. And I don't want to say I want our thriver survivors to forgive us for this gallows humor, but I do want you guys to understand it. And on the other side with the practitioners, I want you not to feel bad about it unless you break the rule. And we're going to go through those rules. So you might say, Angel, how common is gallows humor? I mentioned that. Would you believe me if I told you that I saw it from the first day of my training and you said you believed it?
Yeah.
Would you believe it if I told you it happened on a daily basis?
Absolutely.
Okay. So today I walk in a room. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you this patient's name, but this patient has a horrible, horrible wound on her leg that she is not taking care of. And Angel, the odor from this wound can be smelled from the cancer center all the way to the infusion center. And when you walk in this room and you try to talk to this patient, it's like this patient just doesn't get it. This patient just isn't with us. This patient is just not on the same page. And you do everything possible to be compassionate and empathetic, and you try to connect and you try to connect, and they look at you and then you leave and you don't know if you made any difference at all. And then a comment comes out, not a terrible comment, just like, wow, this person just doesn't get it, or whatever it happens to be, the gallows humor. And it happens on an absolutely daily basis. So please, everybody out there who does it, it's normal. If it wasn't for gallows humor, we would probably all have to go to an asylum, because we need to blow off that steam. And it's part of our human stain. It's part of our human experience. But now, Angel, here's the key. There is a line that you cannot cross. There's a difference between being frustrated, blowing off steam, saying something off the cuff about the folly of it all, about the folly of a specific circumstance that just doesn't make any sense. But then there's a difference between that and an example that I'm going to give you from actually a court case that the patient won a lot of money, actually. There was a patient who was having an outpatient colonoscopy. The patient was wheeled into the suite. He had his clothes in a plastic container underneath the gurney. What the doctors didn't know was that his smartphone was in the bag. The smartphone was on record. The guy had put on the smartphone to record the instructions for the post-op instructions for what to do after the colonoscopy, and he forgot to shut off the record button. So everything that happened during his colonoscopy was recorded on his smartphone. So when one of the medical assistants noted the man had a rash, the anesthesiologist warned her not to touch it, saying she might get some syphilis on your arm or something. Then added, it's probably tuberculosis of the penis, so you'll be all right. Then she went on to say, and really, after 5 minutes of talking to you in pre-op, I wanted to punch you in the face and man you up a little bit. This is what the anesthesiologist was saying to the patient. The anesthesiologist was also allegedly noted that the man had hemorrhoids when he didn't have hemorrhoids. So after a 3-day trial, Angel, the patient won the verdict over $500,000. So you would agree that there is a line.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the other thing that's really important for our practitioners is that if you do have to blow off some steam, or if there's something that just needs to be said in order to lighten your moment or just kind of get you back in the game, never, ever, ever, ever be in earshot of your patient. Number two, never, ever be mean-spirited or unkind to your patient. Always be respectful to the best of your ability. But it's okay if you happen to lose your cool or say something obvious, especially with those special patients that test us. And lastly, for your own sake, in this environment, you may be the most caring, the most amazing, the most compassionate, empathetic practitioner in the entire world, but you can ruin your entire career by one poor decision, one poor text, or one word that should not have been said. In our department, we use the word avocado as the key word for when I start going down the wrong path and when I need to be halted, because there's a difference between being funny and then being inappropriate. And thank God for the staff, because they know sometimes, with all the stress we're under, it's a very fine line. And God bless all of our practitioners out there. I know how hard it is. Angel, you always get the last word.
I like avocados, by the way. But that's a really good idea, by the way. I think that we've come to a point in our lives as you get older. They say you get wiser. And when you make poor decisions, You have to remember to own up to your own actions, right? There's a two-way street here. There's a two-point way I want to go. One, own your own mistakes, learn from them, and move forward. But when you are in a field of being trying to be professional in your field of saving lives, and you know that that person's not there to defend themselves, you have to remember to hold back the reins and always remember yep. that there is a time and a place. They could have done that easily after the whole procedure. And then you go to procedure room and you just let out some steam by joking around. But unfortunately, it doesn't make it right either, for the record, but correct. At least it's behind closed doors and it is not, you know, in the vicinity of a patient. So really the way I want to end it is this way. Anybody and everyone, we've all made this mistake, but always remember that if you're right and you're rude, then you're wrong.
Angel, you're always the most wise person in the room. I really appreciate it. This was a wonderful podcast because I really wanted to get this out. I wanted both our practitioners to feel that they're not, bad, that they're not mean, that when they do make these comments, they shouldn't feel that they're going to go to hell. But at the same time, we always have to keep our eye on the ball, and that's our survivors and our thrivers. We have to keep our eye on their dignity. We have to keep an eye on their well-being. They have trusted us with their life. We have an obligation. I will say it again, as I said it from the beginning of this podcast. The special ones, the ones that need us most, the ones we need to embrace the closest, it is for the ones that don't show up for their appointments, the ones that don't take their medications, the ones that continue the bad habits, the ones that don't have the money or the resources or the baseline capacities, that we need to muster the most understanding and empathy and compassion, even when they are doing everything in their power to test us. Angel Santana, on behalf of myself, you, my dear friend, Have Faith, Let It Begin, Rod Freeman, the entire board of directors, which we will talk about next podcast about our beautiful board meeting and dinner. To our wonderful Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, to everyone associated with the Croc podcast and the Croc organization, there's only one goal we have, and that's to serve you guys, the survivor thrivers. You guys are courageous. You are brave. You are bold. You are strong. You are energetic. You are vibrant. You are worthy. You are smart. You are beautiful. You are funny. You are indispensable. You are loved and you love. We love you and we want you to love yourself. Remember, always, we end this podcast exactly the same. Wishing you all the longest, healthiest, happiest, cancer-free life ever. Be the best you can be. And to our practitioners, do the best you can. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.